Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, photos, videos, other stuff at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Should I do the In a World With? I mean, that was a pretty good segue.
I think that's a one-time thing.
Was it?
Is it?
I do what I want.
You do.
But I'm not going to do it this time. Co-hosting with me, MJL? No. ML?
That sounds...
Melody Melody?
That sounds like I should have an album, which well, I do not have.
That's exactly how you intro'd yourself
MJL.
Last time. Yeah. Mel Mel?
Mel Mel. Oh, no.
No,
that doesn't work. Not.
Melody Lauer.
I mean, MJ works, but then...
No. Anyway, Melody
Hi.
Lauer. Melody Lauer's co-hosting again.
What's up?
No.
How's it going?
That
no.
Is, no.
We're not.
We're going to need to work on this. We'll come up with a catchphrase.
You guys should help me.
We'll come up with a catchphrase, and then you'll find a better job, and I'll have to break somebody else in on a new catchphrase.
Okay.
Luckily, I own Yay. I mean, that is my intellectual
no,
property.
I'm pretty sure Jack owns Yay.
No, Jack created that while he was taking money from me, and the way IP works.
What's his contract say, John?
It's not about contract. That's common law throughout the land, is that employees that create things while being paid by their... You know the guy that invented Velcro? Do you know what he got for that? A watch.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Anyway. Don't invent Velcro. That's the moral of that story. I wish I had something with Velcro on it right now, just so I could... No, anyway. Hey, guess what?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Tactical Night Vision Company. The night is dark and full of terrors, or at least it used to be. But now we have the technology to fight the night. And TNVC is your one-stop shop for all your dark fighting needs. From the TNV PVS-14 Night Vision Goggle to the MAL C1 Plus and everything in between, TNVC can outfit your defense against the dark arts. Doesn't matter if it's your lost keys, the enemy, or that little kid from down the street that likes to wander off. Insert funny thing here. TNVC has what you need to find things in the dark. TNVC now with financing. Own or finance the night.
You know what's funny about that? What? I always envision this like 7-year-old little kid in my mind. Like this poor little 7-year-old lost kid. And it's so pathetic.
I'm thinking of more like a 13 or 14-year-old that
really?
Smokes cigarettes and like.
So you went really dark with it, and I was like, oh, this poor lost child.
Do you know why I went dark with it?
Because you're a deep, dark human being?
It's at night, and it's a night vision commercial, so it's dark.
It's dark.
Right.
I see what you did there.
Good. Hey, guess what? Joining us, Kathy Jackson. Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Life is good. How are you doing?
Very good, and life is good. First off, thank you for, I don't know what time zone you're in right now, but I bet it's earlier there than it is here, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us very much. So, for those that don't know, say who you are, what you do, and we'll hop right into today's topic.
My name is Kathy Jackson, and I am the Cornered Cat. Cornered Cat is a website, a book, a previously active but not currently active training company, and come visit my website sometime, corneredcat.com.
So I've said this before. I know I've said it privately. I think I said it the last time you were on the show, but I'll say it again. Yours was the very first website I ran across or found when I first started getting interested in concealed carrier self-defense as a private citizen. So thank you very much. It was a very good primer and was a good foundation for where I ended up going later on.
That's pretty awesome. You know, I was thinking about it, and you told me that, and you must have seen the website back when it was very pink and very lacy and very frilly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Somehow that seems appropriate.
Well, for me it is. I mean, but, I mean, this is, I guess this is where we could tell the story. So you and I were recently out at the Girl and a Gun training conference, and during the instructor dinner on day two, I'm sitting there with, you know, with the fellow instructors and all that. And then you and another lady walk up with a bra for me to try on so I can I can experience the flashbang bra holster for myself, which came from another conversation. But and then it's this weird thing, and there's photos, and I need to post a video, and I haven't gotten around to it, of me and Caleb Causey in an impromptu Brazilian jiu-jitsu session while I'm wearing a bra and a flashbang and a blue gun and all that. So
honestly, I'm not sure which was my favorite part of that. The look on Tracy Thronberg's face when she realized that she had a very an appropriately sized hot pink and black lace bra that she could present you with at the instructor dinner. Or, quite honestly, your willingness to just go ahead and learn something rather than simply calling out, oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Nobody should ever carry like that when you hadn't even had your hands on it. Quite frankly, that latter thing is something that we see a whole lot more often, and it just doesn't seem right.
For me, it was kind of, I mean, I haven't fully decided, you know, my final thoughts and opinions on the flashbang specifically. But I like to, unless something is clearly a bad idea, you know, like, so I will make fun of VersaCarry all day without ever having tried one, because I feel comfortable in doing that. But
that seems reasonable, actually. But
I think so. But yeah, this is where I'm going to get a C&D from their lawyers and whatever. But and this is all going to segue nicely into what we're actually going to talk about. But if it's a product that it might make me uncomfortable. But when I can't see any when I can't see any glaringly obvious flaws inside of the context in which it is intended to be used, but I still feel emotionally against it. That's where, for me personally, as somebody that, you know, takes what I do very seriously and takes, like, the instructing specifically that I do very seriously, that's where I kind of need to get out of my own way and just actually get firsthand experience. And luckily, Tracy had a very large bra that would fit me, and I got to, you know, you showed me the safe way there is to draw from one, and I got to play with it. I'm going to play with a little bit more, and I'll have an actual opinion. But what that flows nicely into is, what are your thoughts and opinions on kind of this willingness inside of our industry, mainly from students, well-meaning students, but even from some instructors, to label things as derp or bad ideas or whatever, without maybe giving them a fair shot, or maybe even if it's just something they don't agree with or they're uncomfortable with?
I want to declare war on derp. First of all, that means there are dangerous products. There are bad products that are out there. None of us wants to see a student carrying in a holster that doesn't cover and protect the trigger. None of us wants to see our students carrying in holsters that actually encourage them to press the trigger prematurely during a draw stroke that maybe gets a little bit tangled up. You know, there are bad products.
Right.
That said, I think we do a whole lot more harm than we do good when we simply say, okay, that's derp, and move on. You know, throwing out the facepalm might be really, really satisfying, but it really doesn't help educate our well-intentioned new shooters. It doesn't even help educate our maybe not so well-intentioned older shooters. It doesn't teach anybody how to make an informed choice. It just tells them that they don't want to listen to us because we've just hit the emotional buttons.
Right. We got to go to break, so hold that thought. Right now, we're talking with Kathy Jackson from The Cornered Cat. You're listening to Ballistic Radio.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. Legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories, as well as the new EDC X9, which offers discriminating shooters, 1911 match-grade accuracy, superior ergonomics, and concealability with modern service pistol capacity and reliability at www.wilsoncombat.com.
So I know out in Radio Land it's been 2 weeks since I read the last Wilson Combat ad, but in reality, I just wrote that ad while interviewing Michael Grasso. So, I'm sorry.
Should I do the...
That's a Wayne's World reference! High five! Good job!
That was like a high finger. I think you actually hurt my finger.
Let's
try it again.
There we go. I'm not left-handed. I can't high five left-handed. Wait, one more time.
You suck at left-handed high fives. There we go. Okay.
Better. I did pick my coffee up, though, so it didn't go all over the soundboard. Anyway, we're talking with Kathy Jackson about... Derp jihad, or jihad against derp, or whatever. It's this horrible thing where it's like an appeal to authority, but sometimes it's deserved and sometimes it's not. But I think where we really fall down is kind of like how often it turns into, instead of, hey, here's some of the flaws with this product or methodology or whatever, let's have a meaningful conversation about it. It's a, you're a bad person and you should feel bad for being a bad person and you smell and nobody likes you and you might as well eat dirt. Right?
Right. I'm thinking about one particular woman who came to one of my classes a couple of years ago, and she had what I think of as a bad holster. It didn't fit the gun very well. When she was moving around, the gun was rattling in the holster, which meant it wasn't held securely. It didn't fit her belt. So we had a lot of things that were just problematic here. And I could have said to her, hey, you know, this was really a stupid purchase. But first of all, 3 minutes into the class, she knew that it wasn't the best purchase.
Right.
Maybe more importantly, if I had said that to her, and especially if I had said that to her before she even got to my class, before we had any kind of relationship, she might have decided that she wasn't cut out for this, she wasn't going to carry it all, whatever. But instead, you know, having developed some sort of a connection with her, I could say, okay, look, let's go look at some of the other choices that you have, and I could present those choices. But even before that, I could ask her, why did you choose this holster? And the story that came back to me was that she had had a good holster, and there was a car accident. She wasn't in it, but her holster was, and so her good holster was in a car that was impounded, because the car had been totaled.
Right.
And so the night before class, she had gone to the local gun store and bought what she could. But if I had started out by making fun of that choice or by calling everybody over, hey, everybody, come look at what a bad choice looks like,
right.
First of all, I never would have gotten that story. And second of all, I would not have had the understanding to have a conversation with her that she was willing to keep listening and keep learning. And you know, there's a lot of incidents like that. I think of one woman who's like trying to solve what she calls the little black dress problem. The little black dress problem, Melody, you're familiar with it, right?
Oh, yes, yes. It's a constant struggle if you want to, go anywhere with the cocktail dress on.
Not all of us want to dress like tactical hobos. And, you know, I'm more babushka than vavoom anymore, but I know that there are plenty of people who really, really, really think it's important to be armed in non-permissive environments while wearing clothing that is challenging. And so people come up with very creative and sometimes very strange solutions to that problem. When somebody who lives the tactical hobo lifestyle, you know, those of us who wander from one place to another while wearing jeans and polo shirts, cover vests, whatever, when one of us says to that person, oh, you have to always carry in a holster on the belt, and there are no other solutions, just dress around the gun.
Right.
What takeaway do they get from that conversation?
Well, generally, if clearly, if I'm not a clone of this person, then I can't do what they do, and I might as well just not even try.
Yeah. I think the slowest draw of all is the one from 20 miles away when your gun is in the safe at home.
Right.
And I think sometimes we think that we're helping people choose between a bad holster and a good holster. Really, we're not. For the most part, we're helping them choose between a imperfect holster and no holster at all and not carrying the gun at all. But as long as we think that we can... You can't belittle people into agreeing with you. You can't make fun of them to the extent that, of course, they're going to immediately realize what a wonderful, brilliant person you are and then listen to every other thing that you have to tell them.
Well, I don't know about that, Kathy. There's at least one bald trainer that's made quite the career of doing that.
Oh, yes. Oh, and on the subject of derp, I mean, it is very, very easy to make fun of and belittle products that we've never even had our hands on.
Anyway.
Just saying.
Yeah, I know. I know. How many failure points are there? Are there as many as there are in the single stack 1911 9mm mag? Ooh, inside joke. But the people that get that inside joke will be very amused right now. Anyway,
it's true, but moving on.
Yeah, I'm about to like derail the conversation into an area that, while it would be personally satisfying to me, especially right now, would not be very constructive and would actually be ironic considering what we're trying to do here or not do. Yeah, but so the thing that strikes me as odd about, I guess about us, and like you say, tactical hobo, and that's me. I is one. Like to a T. If I were standing by the side of the road with nothing to do, people would throw quarters at me because they felt bad, you know. The thing about that is, like, me and people that get to do what I do or even whatever are an incredibly small subset of not the population at large, but the gun-owning population at large, the shooting population at large, and even the people that will go to one training class at large.
Yeah. Right.
How do you think we get people to realize that?
I honestly don't know. I will tell you that I think the whole, okay, that's derpy, that's stupid, I think it's a form of disrespect. And
yeah.
I think simply realizing that we owe not just our students, but people who might possibly in future become our students, our fellow instructors, we actually owe people a lot more respect than we tend to give them. I think that sometimes when I hear a new instructor say something like, well, I don't need to learn a little bit more. I don't need to learn more because I'm only teaching beginners. I think how very disrespectful that is to the beginners.
Why do you think that that idea that you don't need to know very much to teach beginners is so prevalent?
I was thinking about this yesterday, came across Greg Elifritz put out a really great article a couple of years ago talking about the confidence gap between men and women.
Right.
And you're going to think I'm odd to have gone into a gendered explanation, but please, please, please bear with me for a moment.
Not at all.
The bottom line of a bunch of studies that have been done over the years is that women tend to never apply for jobs that they feel underprepared or unqualified to take.
Right.
Men tend to be more willing to apply for jobs, even when they know that they don't meet all of the prerequisites of doing the job. And study after study has confirmed this. And yet, when I look at the industry, I see a huge number of instructors who are woefully unprepared, both men and women. And so I'm thinking, well, how is it that women are getting into these jobs? And I think what's happening is they're telling themselves that the job isn't as big as it really is. I'm only teaching beginners means, oh, anybody could do it. I don't have to study more. I don't have to learn more. I don't have to be a better shooter than I am right now. All I have to do is tell them which end the bullet comes out and keep them safe. And that's literally all the job that I'm going to do. And so it doesn't matter whether I know anything about my business or not. So we've made the job smaller so that we are big enough to fill it. And I think that's what's happening on the women's side. On the guys' side...
Well, hold that thought, because we have to go to break. So right now we're talking with Kathy Jackson from The Cornered Cat. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Events, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Events, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. I'm not going to do it, I promise. From the USB rechargeable 300 lumen sidekick to the 500 lumen X300 Ultra M600 Scout Light, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell at these light ever again. Doesn't matter if you're shining light a potential threat or just helping your friends see through their eyelids. When you need all the lumens for longer, you need Surefire. And now, as a special offer to Ballistic Radio listeners, you can get 30% off at the Surefire.com web store by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS, that is ALLTHELUMENS, 30% off everything except suppressors and batteries at Surefire.com. So a little bit of social engineering that I find quite amusing is that you only need to shine a light in someone's eyes once before you can pick the light up every other time, and every person in the room starts covering their eyes or looking away. Or whatever.
Well, you said, I promise, and the very first thing that went through my head is, I don't trust you.
That's smart. You shouldn't. Anyway, we're talking with Kathy Jackson. And you were talking about how on the women's side, we've made the job smaller.
Yeah. Well, and here we go. I, like I said, I don't necessarily like gendering this because it's... male brains and female brains are different, but they aren't so different that you can look at any particular brain and say, oh, that's definitely a male or that's definitely a female.
Right.
So we're talking more about broad trends, oh dear, general trends, rather than, you know, it's all glittering generalities, and I acknowledge that. But the non-confident instructor who just gets into the job, they kind of look around and they go, well, if I make the job small enough, then even my incompetence right now is big enough to fill this very, very small job. So they make the job much smaller than it is. That plays out rather severely when we realize that teaching beginners is actually the hardest work in the entire training industry.
And I think so many people miss out on that. So personally, I don't like... Melody is a much better instructor in several different aspects, but, you know, and Melody and I teach classes together, but she is much better at the beginner problem than I am. Just mainly because I've always... there is so much to impart that it's hard to decide what's important.
What's important now?
Yeah, what's important now versus what will genuinely be important later, and what will be important after that, and all sorts of stuff. And I'll tell you one of the most interesting things about going out and teaching at the Girl in the Gun Conference was that. There were quite a few more beginners in certain classes that I taught lesson blocks because they were set up for beginner tracks than I generally seek out on my own. And they asked much different questions than I am used to answering. And it was kind of nice, you know?
I'm always fascinated by beginner questions because they do tend to range all over the map. And I have found that groups of women ask different questions than groups that are more evenly balanced between the genders. I found that groups that are primarily men ask different questions than groups that are primarily women. It's just a fascinating little digression there. But as far as beginners go, their questions range all over the map. So the instructor who comes into that class has to be prepared to deal with a wider set of topics than whatever is actually on the syllabus. And maybe deal with means, okay, that's a gin and tonic question. We'll talk it over after class over an adult beverage. Maybe it means I know how to answer a question in 5 seconds and move on, even though this is something that people have argued over for years upon years, and the entire training industry, we have a depth of knowledge on this. What one sentence, what two sentences can I give a beginner right now that will be enough for them to go on with? And you think, well, if I just know that one sentence, that's enough. The problem is the beginners are going to throw you questions from everywhere, and you don't know that you'll need that one sentence.
Well, and if you, you know, if you have, you need to have a certain depth of knowledge to answer certain questions that, I mean, and like I'm having a hard time just off the top of my head thinking about, you know, here's my favorite one. I taught an introduction to Citizen Low Light when we were out in Texas, and somebody brought up my favorite bit of conventional wisdom, which is, well, I'm worried about having the light on because I don't want them to shoot at the light, and like I can literally have an 8 to 16 hour conversation solely about light discipline and its importance in a military context versus its importance in a law enforcement context versus its importance in a citizen context. And Melody's nodding her head because she's seen me do it. And
I have heard you yell in passion about, like,
yeah, I know,
what switchology should be on a light. So this is hilarious.
Well, it's true.
But the thing is, like, none of that matters. I just need to be able to give a one or two sentence answer to that. And they don't care. And they're never going to care. And that's okay. But like,
Better than that, that one or two sentence answer, I think once we become used to interacting with impersonally online, even when we know the person on the other side of the screen, we tend to forget that there's a human being on the other side of the screen. And this is a really good example of the derp issue. You could simply say, okay, that's really a stupid question. You wouldn't say it to somebody's face, but you would, in fact, say it online. Not you personally, but we would, in fact, say it online.
Oh, I would have said it online a couple years ago. I totally would have said it online a couple years ago. Biggest regret I have is some of the conversations I had a couple years ago with people, especially online. And I'm sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
But no, you're right. I mean, you think about what we collectively are willing to say to each other, about each other, to our students, about our students. And a lot of the interactions that we have online are designed to shut down those questions. Gosh, that was a stupid question. Right. Gosh, you're stupid for having thought that or asked that. Well, that's a bit of conventional wisdom that really, any which way, the question comes from an honest place, but sometimes our answers are designed to shut them down. And that's just getting away from our main point, which was about beginners.
Right.
Teaching beginners is the most dangerous work in the industry, because beginners, just like the questions come out of left field, so do the behaviors. They haven't yet learned the tactical dance. They haven't yet learned gun handling. They will do things with guns. You will recite the four rules to them. They will nod and look as though they understood what you said. They will do exactly what you tell them to do as long as they're on the range. And then at the end of the day, they go to put their guns away and they point the muzzles every which direction because they internalize the four rules as being only for the range and not for life. There are all sorts of things that you run into like that. The beginners, they bring the greatest variety of challenges to class, not just the odd ideas and the naive thinking, although that's a big part of it. You're more likely to get students who have significant physical challenges.
Right.
If you think about it, you know, somebody who has a physical challenge, who wants to learn how to use a gun, they will show up for the beginner class, maybe, perhaps, if they think that they can. They might not even do that. But if they do show up for that class, they're unlikely to show up for the super advanced, high speed, low drag, whatever, because they can't keep up there.
Right.
And so the teacher of beginners has to know not just what the techniques are, but what the principles are underneath those techniques, so they can adapt them to fit the needs of the actual students. Motivational issues. We talk about is your life worth defending? A lot of times beginners haven't worked that out yet. A lot of times more experienced shooters haven't either, but we don't really notice that.
Yeah.
They at least keep coming back because they're having fun. But we don't necessarily know if they're actually willing to defend themselves, if they've given themselves permission to protect their own lives.
Well,
and go.
No, I was going to say that seems to be like a really, and we only got about 30 or 40 seconds left in this segment, so we'll hop back into this. But just yes or no real quick, do you think that that's the willingness to actually, do justifiable violence to someone else? That doesn't seem to be a question that many beginner instructors really ask their students. You think?
Yes, no, you're right. Pick it up after the break.
Okay, perfect. We're talking with Kathy Jackson from the Cornered Cat. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Events, the country's leading manufacturer of air rifles and accessories. Daniel Events, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by, I really want to make up like a widget company.
A widget company?
Yeah, you know, like a widget.
For like phones and stuff?
No, not like a, wow, that is like the modern age equivalent of a widget. I was saying more like, I'm trying to think of the name of the.
You're explaining it poorly.
Yeah, I know. I do that. I'm trying to think of the name of the company that George Costanza said he worked for in Seinfeld. And I can't I'll come up with it.
So the only thing going through my head right now is, what kind of widget are you talking about? That's the only thing going through my head.
Anyway.
I'm going to Google this.
We're talking with Kathy Jackson from the Cornered Cat. But before the break, we were sort of discussing whether or not beginning instructors do a good enough job of really asking their students whether or not they're prepared to do justifiable violence to someone. And then we got to the break.
That one gets very, very tricky very, very fast.
Yes.
And partly because when it's done poorly, it's worse than if you don't do it at all.
Yeah.
You know, are you really ready to kill somebody? Yes, that is, in fact, a question that people do need to confront. But the beginning instructor, the instructor for beginning students can introduce that topic in a way that shuts people down, panics them, and causes them to turn away. They can ignore that topic entirely so that we get students who have gone through a surprising number of classes and have gotten to be really good shots and who think that they're keeping a gun around for self-defense, but who have never in their own hearts confronted their moral imperatives, you know, their own consciences. They've never actually examined those issues, and so you're walking a tightrope there. And this is something that an instructor for beginners has to have in their minds pretty much all the time, so that you either have a set speech that you give that is designed to motivate students rather than shut them down, or that is designed to encourage them to explore the issue more deeply on their own, or that where you present, okay, this is a very small tip of a very large iceberg, and we cover it in this class if you want to come back for that next class. But in any case, putting those options out in front of people, I think a lot of times we're more likely to just turn away from it and ignore it entirely, assuming that somebody else will. But the real thing with beginners is, what you know about them is that they're willing to take one class. You don't know if they're willing to take the next class.
Right.
You don't know if they will ever take another class from anybody. Of course, that's true at all levels. But for the beginning, the instructor for beginners, that becomes even more serious, because if that person, that student that you taught, does need to use their firearm to defend themselves at 3 a.m. some dark night, your voice is literally the only voice that they might hear in their mind's ear.
Right.
When they pull that gun, or when they decide whether to pull that gun. That puts a huge burden on you, and it's not a burden that you can share. You know, military law enforcement trainers, they can share it around among a half dozen people or more, because there's likely to be several other trainers that address their students. But those of us who work with ordinary people, all I'm doing is giving people their concealed carry permits. If you're the only person who's ever spoken to them about self-defense and about self-defense using guns, then you have a much higher level of responsibility to know what you're talking about and to get it right.
Right.
But we dismiss that. We say, well, all I'm doing is giving them the certificate. I'm only teaching beginners how to handle the guns. I'm not going to talk to them about whether or not to use them. That's for somebody else. Well, who is this somebody else? And what assurance do you have that they're going to go to that person? You're setting the foundation. You absolutely can build a bad building on top of a good foundation, but you can never build a good building on top of a bad foundation.
Yeah, well, it's certainly, I'm going to disagree only a little bit, and more as like a semantics thing. I've seen people turn it around, but it requires so much time and effort, more than it would have had they just learned it well the first time around, that it's a very difficult hurdle to jump after the fact. You know what I mean?
I will agree with you on that. Human brains are plastic. They are malleable. I do think that the fingerprints that we put on there first,
yes,
are very, very hard to erase.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let me ask you this. What, because we're in the last segment already, it's the quickest hour in radio, but what would your advice be to people that want to instruct or want to just instruct beginners?
I would say get way more training than you think you need. Take more shooting classes than you think you need. Not just instructor classes, not just, oh, I've got another certificate to teach a different discipline, but take a wide variety of classes. My preferred level of classes for an instructor to take are the lowest level of self-defense class that happens after the CCW permit. So, you know, whatever the state required class is, and then there will be one more after that, that's offered from the best instructors you can find. And I'm not going to get into who are the best instructors. I'm sure that we talk about this all the time on Politic Radio. But find the best instructor you can find, model yourself after those instructors, get as wide a variety as you can. Take those classes, both left-handed and right-handed, take those classes with double action, DASA, take them with your Glock, take them with a revolver, take it left-handed with a revolver. Take those classes with as wide a variety of guns as you can, because you will be working with students who bring an astonishing variety of guns to class. And while it is tempting to say, no, nobody should ever use anything except my preferred XD, the reality is when you work with beginners, you will have everybody bring everything, and you have to be familiar with that whole stretch. But one of the things that you're doing by taking that wide variety of classes at basically the same level is you are having master instructors model for you how to work with students who are first learning how to defend themselves. Do that, and when you take those classes, look at what the instructor is doing. Pay attention to how they structure the class. Pay attention to how they speak. Pay attention to how they keep people safe. Pay attention to how they deal with questions. It's a very different thing than taking a class to learn how to shoot better. Taking a class to learn how to teach better will get you farther down that road. It will help you learn how to welcome questions rather than shutting them down. Respect yourself.
Do you think that there's enough mentorship inside of our industry? We've only got a couple minutes left, but like real quick, do you think that there's enough of, hey, this person does stuff that I like, and I'd really like to be able to pick their brain at a higher interaction than just, hey, I paid you money for 16 hours of your time. You know what I mean?
I think that there are a lot of very, very good people in this industry who will give their students, both inside and outside class, they pretty much give them the shirt off their backs.
Right.
But you have to do the work, too.
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody who's willing to go that extra mile for somebody who's not putting in the effort themselves. Well, they'll bend over backward to help you if you're putting in the effort yourself. And that's the other advantage of taking classes from a wide variety of instructors, is you will meet the person that you click with, that you can begin developing that relationship. The problem is there are so many students and so few instructors.
We got about 30 seconds left, so if you want to real quick finish this thought. Sorry.
Respect yourself, respect your students, respect your instructors.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on today. It's always a pleasure. So, hey, guys, make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. And, hey, keep leaving those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.